So what I want to do today is I want to talk about a word or a subject that we all know, okay? We all know about this subject. We all know that this should be something that's a part of our lives, but often it's an area where we struggle. I struggle. I think many of us here today struggle with the topic that we're going to talk about this morning, but I want to make sure that this is a very helpful morning so that we can put our struggles to rest or we can grow in this area. And today what I want to do is let's go to the next slide. We're going to talk about prayer. So everybody, let's say that together, prayer. Let's say it with excitement, prayer, okay? So as I begin our talk today, I want to let you know I have a big idea, meaning this is what I want you to remember when you go home and you forget everything else I said. This is the one thing I want you to remember. And by the way, this is in your sermon notes, which is on the back side of that slip of paper you got on the way in. This is the big idea. Let's look at the big idea together. You can fill in the blanks. Here it is. This is what I want you to remember. A life of powerful and effective prayer is a life where the impossible becomes possible. I don't know about you, but that excites me. A life of powerful and effective prayer is a life where the impossible can become possible, okay? So let me ask you a personal question, and I want to encourage you to keep your response to yourself. This is a very personal matter. And that is this: is there any area in your life, or maybe in the life of a loved one, that you would label as impossible? I mean, you think like this, you think, well, that will never change. That's just the way it is. There's nothing good that's ever going to happen. It's not going to change. That person's not going to change. This is just the way it is. Is there any area in your life that you label as, you know what, it's just impossible? Well, if you're here today and you say, oh, yeah, oh, absolutely, yes, there's some areas in my life that are labeled as impossible, I want to say this to you: join the crowd. Join the crowd. I think there's a lot of people that in your life, there's things that you think, well, will never change. It's just too impossible. The hurdle's too high. The mountain's too high. The hole's too deep, okay? But if that's you, I want to let you know you're in good, good company. And what I want us to do together, so I hit your neighbor in the side and say, this means you, so do that right now. What I want to do is I want us to all repeat the big idea together on the count of three. One, two, three. A life of powerful and effective prayer is a life where the impossible becomes possible. So tell your neighbor, isn't that good? So let's do it one more time. I'm sorry, I just love hearing you say this. One more time together. A life of powerful and effective prayer is a life where the impossible becomes possible. Well, let me ask you this. If this is true, and I certainly believe this is true, if this is true, why do we struggle to pray? I mean, look at that. That impossible becoming possible. Wow, if that's really true, why do we struggle to pray? Can I suggest a reason why? And I hope you all say, yeah, go ahead, suggest a reason, okay? May I suggest a reason why? And that is because I think a lot of people believe that, hey, God, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. Do I really need to pray, okay? Do I really need to pray? And I would suggest this, that a lot of people struggle in their prayers because they just need some, they need help. And what they need is they need some encouragement. And I want to let you know that's why I'm here today. I simply want to offer help. I simply want to offer encouragement. So today, maybe you say my prayer life is a 2 on a scale 1 to 10. My objective is, hey, if we could bump you up to a 4, my mission would be accomplished. Maybe you're here today and say, I have a prayer life that's a 6. Man, if I could bump you up to a 7 or 8, that would be wonderful. So that's my goal, is I just want to be someone who encourages you and helps you this morning. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go to the scripture for help, because we believe the scripture is God's authority and God's power. So we're going to look at 2 verses from the book of James. It's a book towards the end of the New Testament, written by Jesus' half-brother, James. And in his book, he's going to write a little section on the power of prayer. So I want to read a couple verses. They're going to be on the screen. So let's show those verses now. And it says this in James 5, verses 17 through 18. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And check this out, you guys. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Next verse. Again, he prayed. So about 3.5 years later, he prayed. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced a crop. So I think we would all agree that Elijah was a man who lived a life of powerful and effective prayer. And as a result, God did some pretty, pretty incredible things. because of his prayer. And if you're like me, and I grew up in church, thank the Lord, I'm so thankful for my family and our heritage, being raised in a Christian home. So I've had a lot of contact with Scripture, and I'm thankful for that. But I've read this chapter in James, these verses in James, several times. And every time I read it, I would think, well, that was Elijah. Come on. He's the prophet of God. Sure, God's going to listen to his prayer. Yeah, that's him, but this is me. He's like Superman. I'm like Mighty Mouse. I mean, there's no comparison, okay? And we think, sure, God would do that for Elijah, but would he really do that for me? And then this week, something happened in my life. I read that first sentence of verse 17 like I've never seen it before. And I love it, and it says this. It says, the first sentence of verse 17, like, and everybody together, us. So what does that mean? That means Elijah got up out of bed every morning just like you. And he put on his, maybe he didn't wear pants, I'm not sure what they wore back then, but he put on his clothes just like us, okay? He was human. I'm sure he had great days. I'm sure he had days that were real bad. Actually, if you know anything about Elijah, he was a man that suffered depression. He had depression. So everything wasn't beautiful in his life. He went through tough times. But the thing that made him stand out to the point that James says, when I talk about prayer, this is the guy I'm going to use for the example. He says, the thing that makes Elijah stand out is that he was a man of prayer. Even he's just like you and me, but he was a man of prayer. And I'm sure his prayers weren't these nice little bedtime prayers. How many people prayed this prayer when you were a little kid? Your parents led you in this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, stop. Isn't that morbid? Why in the world are we teaching our kids that if I should die before I wake? We're not talking about an 80-year-old guy. Yeah, little boy, if you should die before you wake. I just thought of that this week, and I thought, that is crazy. I don't know how that ever made it into the prayer book for kids. If we should die before we wake. Man, is it really that bad at your house? Okay? But anyway, Elijah was just like us, but he prayed powerful and effective prayers. So let me ask you this. Don't think of anything else right now. Just zoom in on this question. And please don't raise your hand. How many people would love to be able to pray powerful and effective prayers that would make a difference? How many people would love to pray prayers where you got results? I think all of us would probably raise our hands. I know I do. I want to pray prayers, man, that when I pray, man, things happen. When I pray, I get results. Well, if that's you, and I think that's probably the majority of us here this morning, what I want to do is I simply want to share with you three qualities of how we can have a powerful and effective prayer life. And my desire is that I hope these are really helpful to you. So if you have notes, I want to encourage you to take notes. These are just three things that I just want to bump you up a couple numbers in your prayer life, because I believe that God can do some crazy things that you don't think he could ever do. He can take the impossible and make it possible. But what God needs is he needs people who will pray. So let's just try to figure this out. Let's grow in this area together as individuals, as a church. Let's just grow to say, God, I determine I'm going to be a prayer person. I'm going to be a person who comes to you in prayer. So three steps. Step number one, if you want to be powerful and effective in your prayers, and here's the obvious, everybody say it together, ask. How many people know you got to ask? You got to ask. And everybody's like, yeah, that didn't take much to figure that out. But look at this verse. James, who wrote the same verses we just read earlier in chapter 5, look what he says in chapter 4. James says these words, and he's talking to believers. He says, you guys, you know what? You don't have what you want. Then he tells them why. He says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. So James is saying, yeah, I see that there's some big things going on in your life. There's some struggles. There's some challenges. But you're not getting what you want because you don't take the time to ask. See, oftentimes we talk about it. We talk to others about it. There's times we even complain about what's going on in our lives. There's times that we even may shed a few tears about it. But my question is this, why don't we ask God? Why is it? What keeps us from asking God? Okay? And here's what keeps many people from asking, and that is that many of us believe that, God, you're going to do whatever you want regardless if I pray. You may have never thought that out as clear as I just said it, but I think a lot of people say, you know, God, do my prayers really make a difference? Does it really matter if I pray about this? Aren't you sovereign? Aren't you going to do what you want to do anyway? It's a very, very good thought. But what if I told you this is not the case? What if I told you that from the beginning of time that God has chosen to work through people, not independent of people? And what if I told you that one of the ways that God works through people is through our prayers? Think about that. Would that change your prayer life if you begin to realize that, God, you work through my prayers? What if I told you that there's things that I believe that God desires to do in your life? I believe there's things that God desires to do in your life, in your marriage, in your family, and God's just wanting to do some amazing things. And I believe sometimes he's just up in heaven. I can just see God up in heaven and say, you know, I want to do this in your life. I want to do this in your family. I want to do this in your marriage, but I've chosen to work through prayer. And when you pray, I can begin to move on your behalf. Could that be the truth? And I would say, absolutely. I believe there's things that God wants to do in this church. I just want you to hear my heart just for a few seconds. I believe that there's things that God wants to do in this church that would surprise many of you, many of you. It would surprise you what God wants to do in this house. But I tell you what, God's not going to do it unless he finds a people that will pray. People that will begin to call out to God and ask for help. Ask. God, we're asking for you to do something. God, we're coming and we're asking for you to do this. And that's why tonight at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be here at the church. I'm setting you up here. That's why tonight at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be here at the church. And if anybody wants to join me for 1 hour, we're just going to pray and we're going to believe and we're going to ask God for certain things, that he would begin to do certain things in people's lives and in the life of this church. Because the very first step of being somebody with powerful and effective prayers, you just got to take the time to ask, okay? So we need to ask. It's absolutely essential. So let me do this as we continue on in this point. I want to offer you a couple suggestions when it comes to asking. Suggestion number one is in your notes, and that is that your motives matter. Your motives make a big difference when it comes to prayer. Remember, we just read James chapter 4, verse 2, the first part. Now we're going to read the second part of that same verse. In the second part of that verse, James says this, and when you do ask, so these people are beginning to ask, now they're doing that, that's great. He says, when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So James is saying, yeah, you're starting to pick up on this. You need to ask. But here's another reason why your prayers aren't answered. Because when you're praying, you're not thinking about God's agenda. You're thinking about your agenda. This is what it looks like in my life, okay? Especially recently. In my life, it's okay. My prayer is, God, get me out of this mess. Get me out of this difficult situation. That's been my prayer, Lord. Get me out. Why am I praying that? Because I want my life to be easy. Does anybody else want your life to be easy? Sure, I want my life. So there's these difficult, and I'm saying, Lord, get me out of the mess. Get me out of the mess. And the reason why I'm praying that is because I want my life to be easy. Could it be I'm praying with the wrong motive? I'm praying as though, God, you want my life. You want it to all be about my life being easy. I'm praying as though, Lord, your whole objective is for me to be comfortable. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? All you want is you to be comfortable. And God's saying, Mike, you know what? The right motive would be, say, Lord, not help me get out of this mess, but Lord, help me through it. Why? So when you're going through it, how many people know God wants to teach you some things? So oftentimes we want out, and we pray get out prayers. And what we should be praying is, Lord, help me through this. So that through this all, you're showing yourself, you're teaching me about your goodness, you're teaching me about your grace, you're teaching me about your character. And oftentimes we pray with the wrong motive. God, it's all about me. It's like the guy say, God, help me win the lottery. Oh, God, help me to win the lottery. Life sure would be easy. And maybe God's saying, you know what? I don't want your life to be easy. If you won the lottery, you would say goodbye to me. And God's saying, you know what? I want you to be able to trust in me for everything and let me be your provider. Are you getting me this morning? So oftentimes we ask with the wrong motive. It's all about, God, give me what brings me pleasure. Bring me what brings me pleasure. And God's saying, you know, I want something. I want to be glorified. I want you to learn about me, okay? Second little hint I want to give you is you need to be specific. Everybody say that word together, specific. I mean, if you look back to the text, what does Elijah do? He asks first, his prayer is simply, God, no rain. That's an easy prayer. He's specific, no rain. It doesn't rain for 3.5 years. 3.5 years later, he prays this prayer, rain. And guess what? It rains to the point where the earth produces its crops. Notice that Elijah didn't come and pray, Lord, if you choose to, God, would you bless me today? And there's not wrong with that. I think there's times where we can pray general prayers, but I think there's times that you need to get busy with God. You need to get serious with God. And I think there's a time where you need to say, God, I need to be specific. Because when we pray specific things, we're going to get specific answers. We're going to see that. And I think there's things that you just need. It's time to get specific. Is everybody with me this morning? I hope you're with me this morning. Let's get specific. Let's believe, God, that we can get specific. Okay? We can get specific. And I've heard throughout the years, this doesn't originate with me, but I've heard people say that usually God will answer prayers in one of three ways. And we know this. He will answer what? Yes. And there's times when God says no. And by the way, how many people are thankful for no prayers? Is anybody thankful for a no prayer? I'm thankful for a no prayer, or Heather or I wouldn't be married. I want to let you know there were some other girls, believe it or not, before Heather. Oh, Lord, oh, No, that wouldn't be good. No. And then there's times where God just says, hey, wait. Yes, but not now. It's kind of like as a parent, a kid comes to you and says, hey, I want to have a cookie. The answer isn't no, but the answer is, hey, after we eat dinner first. And I think the same is true for with God. We need to understand there's times where yes, no, and there's times that we have to wait. We have to wait. This whole situation I've shared with you many times with the IRS and us being identity theft and people filling out a false tax return in our name. I prayed for that for months and months and months and months. And I was like, God, when are you going to show up? And I tell you what, God answered that prayer with a wait. And I tell you what, when that finally came and everything worked itself out, it was amazing that God gave us that return right in the nick of time. Right when we needed it the most, God showed up and he showed out and he was glorified. But there's times, folks, we got to quit being babies. Oh, God, why are you saying no? Well, he's saying no because he loves you. And there's times that we got to be able to wait, okay? But in this process, we just need to wait. And there's people here, and a couple other things I just want to throw out real quick because I think this point is so important. You need to understand this when you're praying. There's two things you need to understand in the process of praying. Number one, you need to understand that God knows things that we don't know. And everybody should say, oh me. There's things that you don't know that only God knows. Aren't you thankful for that, by the way? The second thing is this. Number two is God wants the very best for you. God wants what's best for you. Okay, I was thinking about it this week. I think of maybe, I'll just use a college girl, for example. She sees Mr. Wonderful, and her prayer is, oh God, give me Mr. Wonderful. Look at that physique. His parents are rich. He's just got it all together. He's just the best. And she's praying, Lord, give me Mr. Wonderful. And could it be that God is saying no? Because God says, do you realize that Mr. Wonderful is very angry? That Mr. Wonderful has a temper? That Mr. Wonderful is things behind the scene that we don't see before us? Do we trust God enough when he says no? Do we trust God enough that he knows things that we don't know? Do we trust God enough that he wants what's best for you? I bet if I would interview parents throughout this congregation, how many parents would raise your hand? You don't need to do it today, but how many parents would raise your hand and say, you want the best for your kids? I think every one of us, I would respond with two hands high. Yes, I want the best for Grant. I want the best for Nolan. I want what's best. But there's things that only a parent knows, and we got to just trust in the parent that's the way God is with us. God is a God who is perfect. He's a heavenly father with no flaws. Maybe you grew up with a father that there was some baggage and he didn't treat you the way you should be treated. I want to let you know your Heavenly Father is nothing like that. But your Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. And you can trust that He wants what's best for you. And when you come in prayer, you can have that confidence that He knows things you don't know, and also the confidence that He wants what's best for you, okay? But if you want to be a breakthrough person in prayer, you got to ask. Everybody just say that together. Ask. 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 By the way, I don't want to ruin it, but at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you, what are you asking God for? So begin to think, what is it? What's the big thing in my life that I'm going to believe God for? Number two, you got to be persistent. That word means you need to continue firmly in your course of action despite the difficulty or the opposition. There's times when you pray, you got to be persistent. I want to read a passage of scripture to you quickly to show how Jesus taught about being persistent. He said, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray. They should never give up. Never give up. Pray, pray, don't give up. He says, there was a judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. Just a bad guy, okay? Next slide. But there was also a widow of that city who came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute against my enemy. The judge did what? He ignored her for a while. But finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God. You know, I don't care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. Everybody, does any guys in this room know about that? Anyone? Okay, not me. I have no clue what he's talking about here, but I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant request. Every day she's coming, give me justice. Give me justice. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? And the answer is what? No. He goes, I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them, quickly. But when the Son returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Whole point of the story is that that unjust judge gave in. And the point of the story is this, how much more does God, who loves both people and justice, how much more does he answer prayer? And there's times you just got to press on. See, a lot of us, we think when it comes to prayer, it's one and done. I want to let you know in my life, I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think it's ever been one and done. But there's times where I've had a request that God has put on my heart, and it's been warfare. Somebody said this well a few years ago. They said, prayer is work. You got to work. You got to work it. I mean, you got to put some sweat equity into prayer. And you got to keep praying. You got to keep seeking after God. You got to push through. You got to be persistent. Does anybody know what persistence is all about? I know in my life, I know what persistence is all about. I got a wife and a son that have been very, very persistent recently. And it all started with a little picture on a cell phone. Said, oh, look at this pretty little kitty. And I said, no, we just got rid of a dog and it was a glorious day. And I tell you what, me and cats don't get along. But I tell you what, it's been persistent. Persistent. Oh, we're going to drive over here and we're going to take a look at the kittens. It's persistent. It's persistent day after day for a few weeks. How many people know, even though Mike doesn't like cats, it's just a matter of days where we're going to go pick up a new kitten. It's too late. I already made the commitment. I said to my wife, I said, if this makes you happy, if this makes you happy, because in all sincerity, when Heather's happy, that brings me joy. I'm serious. I like to make my wife happy. So the other day she started saying, well, you know, kitties, if there's two of them, they really play really nice together. I said, we will not be one of those multiple freaky cat people, okay? Then Heather said, well, Tony has two cats. I said, well, that's Tony and Jeremiah. That's their business. That's their business. I can't help that. Jeremiah's not happy about it either. Okay? Here's the thing. Let's relate that to prayer. Let's get back to prayer. Could it be that God's just waiting for people just, and I want to say this, Craig, it's not like he's saying, how bad do you want this? I don't think that would, but I think there's times where you just got to just be determined that, Lord, this is on my heart. And Lord, I'm going to fight through this, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep believing. And God, I'm going to keep waiting. If it's yes, fine. If it's no, fine. If it's wait, fine. But God, I'm going to be persistent because I believe that this is important. And I know I'm going to ask you at the end, what's that one thing that you need to begin to ask God for? What's that situation in your life right now you say, that's impossible? But you could begin to pray and God say, that's possible. Maybe it's for a family member's salvation, greatest prayer of all. Maybe it's for somebody's healing. Maybe it's for one of your children or wayward from the Lord. What is it where you just need to say, God, I'm going to ask, and I'm going to be persistent. And then number three, I'm going to be expectant. I'm going to be expectant. That word means having or showing an exciting feeling that something is about to happen. How many people remember Christmas Eve as a kid? Were you expectant on Christmas Eve? I mean, I couldn't sleep. I mean, I didn't sleep all night. Why? Because I was expecting. I was excited for Christmas morning. I was expecting. And that, listen, I want you to listen to these words from King David, found in Psalm 5, 1 through 3. Let's look at these verses together. Oh Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. So he's groaning, man. He's intense about his prayer. Listen to my cry for help. I mean, this is something big in his life. My King and my God, for I pray to you. I'm sorry, I pray to no one but you. Then look at verse 3. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you, and I wait. Everybody say this word together, expectantly. Let me ask you, when you pray for something, are you expecting God to do something big? Are you expecting God to come through? You can have that because God is good. So let's review here. Three qualities of a powerful and effective prayer life you need to ask. You need to ask. You need to be specific. You need to have the right motive. God, this isn't about my agenda. This is about your agenda. There's times where you got to be persistent. Don't give up. I want to encourage someone here today. Somebody here today, you say, well, I've been praying for something for 2 months, 3 months, 2 years, 3 years, and you feel like, God, you're not hearing me, and you're just on the verge, or maybe you already have. You've given up. You've given up. I want to say, don't give up. You serve a good, good Father who hears your prayers, and don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep doing warfare. Keep working. Be persistent. The outcome is going to be something beautiful, something powerful. Amen? And then you need to just say, God, I'm expecting this. God, it's almost a statement of faith. God, when I pray, when I come to pray tonight at 5 o'clock, God, I'm going to expect you to show up. I'm going to expect. And it's not like we're demanding God. You better. We never demand God. He's the creator. We're the creation. Does everybody understand? That's not what I'm saying. But we have this faith that arises. God, I'm expecting you to do something. If it's yes, wonderful. If it's no, I'm going to trust you. If it's wait, I'm going to learn to lean into you. But these are the key ingredients of how we can be effective in our prayer life. So here's my closing challenge to you. And what I want you to do is I want you to get out your notes. And on the bottom of your notes, I've left space for you to answer this question. And I don't want to preach a sermon just for the sake of preaching another message. I want to see us apply this message. I want us to live biblically. So on your piece of paper, and maybe you don't want to do it now because your neighbor will be nosy. I know about nosy neighbors. I'm one of them. But this is what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge, and I'm very sincere about this challenge. I'm very serious. I want you to answer this question. I want you to list one specific request. I want you to list one specific request that you will ask God for until you get the answer. And what we're going to do is we're going to let the music play for about 1 or 2 minutes. And I want you to begin to think, what is that one thing? God, what's that one big ask? I got to make the big ask. God, what is it that I want to believe you for? And I want you to write it down on paper. And this is what I think we're going to do for the next few weeks. At the beginning of my sermon, I'm going to ask, did anybody receive an answer to your big request? And if you want to, we're going to have people share. because I believe there's things that God wants to do. He really desires to do in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace. He wants to do in this church, but he's patiently waiting for people who will ask. Believe him enough to just say, God, you're a good, good father. And one verse in the Bible says, who desires to give good gifts, good things to those who love him. So let's just take a few minutes. If you can't do it here today, I want you to do it today by the end of, by sundown, to just write on that paper, what's the one thing I'm believing God for? I just pray that faith would begin to rise up in you. Faith would begin to build up in you. That you know that you can partner with God, who is all powerful, who is loving, who is good, who's all knowing. What's that one thing? I want to encourage you, don't be shy. Be bold. But something big, you have a big God, amen? Who can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. So Lord, we come in alignment with you. We ask that your kingdom come, that your will be done. We're not putting demands on you. We want to line up with you. We want to align ourselves with your, for you to be glorified. Lord, it's not about us seeking the pleasure. It's about for the good of the kingdom. We pray these things. But God, we are children of God, and we can come asking. I think of when my kids were growing up, when they wanted something, they would come and do what? They would ask mom and dad. God, may we correlate that to our faith, that when we're in need, we can come and ask of our Heavenly Father. And there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small. But God, you can do all things. So we want to come asking. We want to come being persistent. We want to come being expectant for what you and only you can do. Jesus' name. And everyone together said, folks, please take me serious. Can you take me serious this one time? Please, I encourage you, write something down today. Write something, be specific. May it be so big that only God could pull this off. What is it? Mine is so clear, I'm not going to share it now. Mine is so clear what I want to see happen. I'm just praying, Lord, help my motive in all this to be about you, not be about me. Let's get after God. Can we be people that get after God? Amen. Amen.